I don't know how much attention that I will get by announcing my topic today, but it's a most important subject that I've chosen. The title of the message is the preeminence of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. If you want to, take your Bibles and open them there to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 through verse 18. Now, here's what Scripture says. Now, watch the references here to Christ. Watch the references to the Son of God. For by Him, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now, this letter to the church at Colossae was written by the Apostle Paul about 30 years after Christ our Lord died on the cross. Now, Paul wrote this letter when he was a prisoner at Rome. As far as we can tell, Paul never preached to this church at Colossae. At least he hadn't up to this point, because he mentioned the fact that many of them had never seen him in the flesh and never heard him in the flesh. So when writing this letter, this epistle to the church at Colossae, Paul begins where everything begins, with the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's something that I said in my message last week, and that is that we need to preach the Word of God. And I mean by that, we need to preach each text in the context. We need to preach every verse surrounded by the verses that are before and after it. One of the most dangerous things in the world to do is just go from verse to verse, here and there and yonder in the Bible, and pick out verses to prove what you already believe. Take the Word of God. Start with verse 1 in the epistle, or verse 1 in the chapter, and read right on through the verse that you're studying, or the verse you're preaching, or the verse you're discussing. What is said before the verse has a lot to do with what the verse says, and what is said after the verse of Scripture. So that's what I'm going to do now. I'm preaching from Colossians 1, 16 through 18, in which Paul said, by Him were all things created. And He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. But let's see what verse 1 says, and come right down the line. Now, Paul, first of all, in verse 1, he identifies himself as an apostle of Christ. This is what I'm saying. Paul, when he writes to this church, he begins where everything begins, with Christ and the preeminence of Christ. And he identifies himself as an apostle. But not just an apostle, he's an apostle of Christ. He's not just a preacher, he's a preacher of the gospel of Christ. He's not just a bond slave, he's a bond slave of Christ. He's not just a denominationalist, he's a child of God. You see what I'm saying? And then he writes to those, in verse 2, he writes to those who are saints, and every believer is a saint. You don't make a man a saint after he's dead by canonizing him or getting a bunch of people together and finding out what kind of good works he's done. That's not in the Bible. That's a pack of foolishness. We're all saints in Christ Jesus. All who are sanctified are saints. Every believer is a saint. And he's writing to those who are saints and brethren in Christ. But they're saints and brethren in Christ. Christ made them saints. Christ made them brethren and sons of God. See that? Verse 3, he calls God the Father. He's the Father. But he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's my Father and your Father as we are one with Christ. You see that? He's the Father of Christ. And being the Father of Christ, he is the Father of those who are brothers in Christ. And then he gives thanks in verse 4 for their faith. But it's not just faith, it's faith in Christ. Oh, I wish I could get people to see that. It's not just faith. It's not just keep the faith, baby. It's faith in Christ. Faith's got to have an object. And the object of saving faith is Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall never see life. Faith's not just an attitude. Faith is not just a positive mental attitude, PMA. Faith has an object. I believe God. So he says, I've heard about your faith in Christ. And then verse 13, he says the kingdom of God. He talks about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And I hear a lot of people talk about the kingdom. But he says the kingdom of God is the kingdom of his dear Son. It's the kingdom of Christ. You can't have a kingdom and not have a king. And a king can't be a king who doesn't have a kingdom. So the Heavenly Father made him king over the kingdom. And it's his kingdom which he purchased with his own blood. He's the King of Peace, the King of Salem, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's the kingdom of God's dear Son. Look at verse 13 or verse 14. He says this in verse 14. He says we have redemption. Redemption. Redemption is when you redeem something, when you buy it back. You forfeited it. Now you go pay the price and you get it back. It's yours once more. And we have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. But wait a minute. We have redemption and forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now salvation's free. It's free to you. But somebody paid for it. There was a price to be paid. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth shall die. There was a price to pay. Salvation is free, but Christ paid for it. He bought it. Salvation's without works to you, but it took somebody's work. Christ had to work it out. He had to obey the perfect law of God. Election's unconditional. Why? Because Christ met the conditions. And then here in verse 15, he says, Christ is the image and revelation of God. This Jesus Christ we're talking about is the exact or express image of the Heavenly Father. He's the revelation of God. He that has seen me, Christ said, has seen God. And then verse 16, he says, all things were created by Christ. And then in verse 17, he says, Christ is before all things. If he created all things, of course he's before all things. Jesus Christ did not begin to exist in Bethlehem's manger. I hear people talk about, well, if Christ was alive today, he'd do this. Now, wait a minute. He ever lives. He is and was and always has been and always will be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born of Mary, he came from heaven into the world. Took up his abode in a body the Father prepared for him. And then when he died on that cross, he went back to glory in a glorified body, risen from the tomb. But he's always been. He is before all things, and all things are held together by him. By him all things consist. Are there, what holds this world together? What holds the universe together? What keeps every star and every planet and the sun and the moon? What keeps all of these things on their exact minute orbit? Not what, but whom. He does. By him all things consist. And then Christ is the head. He's the head. What is the head? The king of the church. And he's the beginning of the church. The church began with him. Somebody says the church began at Pentecost. It began in Christ. He's the beginning of the church. He's the head of the body. He's the head of the church. He's the beginning of the church. We were chosen in him. The church didn't begin at Pentecost. It began in Christ. Christ is the firstborn from the dead. He's the first to die, to rise and die no more. He is the pledge of our resurrection. He's the firstborn from the dead, the pledge of our resurrection. And all of this, you see, in these 18 verses, is to say this. God says, in all things, among all things, through all things, above all things, that He might have the preeminence. That's what it's all about. That's the objective, that's the aim, that's the goal. The King made a feast to honor His Son. And that's what this whole universe is all about. That's what this book said. That in all things, by Him all things consist. He's the head, King of the body of the church. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn. That in all things, among all things, above all things, through all things, that He, not you, He might have the preeminence. Now, I ask two questions, two simple questions today. Easy to be heard and easy to be remembered. What is this preeminence that Jesus Christ has? And the second question is, why should He have it? What is this preeminence that Jesus Christ has? Well, there's no way that a person can give Christ too much glory. Somebody said, well, you preach Christ, Christ, Christ. I intend to keep on preaching Christ, Christ, Christ. There's no way that we can over-preach Christ. There's just one mistake a preacher can make, and that's under-preach Christ. You can't over-preach Him. You can't preach Him too much. There's only one thing I fear, and that is going off on a tangent, chasing a rabbit somewhere, not preaching Christ, because you can't over-preach Him. To Him give all the prophets witness. Almighty God says in all things He has the preeminence. What is the preeminence? Well, He has total preeminence, first place, total preeminence in the Father's love. He said, My Father loves you as He loved me. In Matthew 3:17, the Father said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. In John 3:35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. In Romans 8:39, He names all these different things and He says, Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. He has total preeminence in the Father's love. Now, I don't know how to get that across, and I don't know how to emphasize it, and I don't know how to make anybody believe me. But I'm telling you this. If you're not in Christ and do not know Christ and do not come to a saving relationship with Christ, there's no way that you can lay claim to God's favor or God's love, because it's in Christ. Now do what you will with that, but that's so. The Father loveth the Son. And he that hath not the Son, or believeth not on the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. We need to get acquainted with the book, don't we? And then secondly, Christ has total preeminence in power. Not only in Father's love, but in power. He said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. There's no power that Christ doesn't have. He has power over the seas, power over the skies. He has power over the land. He has power over the storms. He has power over the snow and power over the rain. He has power over the sun, power over the moon. He has power over lost men and saved men. He has power, He said in John 17:2, Thou hast given me all power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given me. Did you ever read that before? That's right. Christ prayed in John 17, Thou hast given me all power over all flesh. over all flesh. He has total power. He said a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Our Lord told Pilate that. He said, you couldn't have any power over me at all except it were given you from above, from my Father. Don't talk about the weakness of Christ. Don't talk about the inability of Christ. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. He'll save whom he will. He said, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing. And I came down from heaven to do my Father's will. He has total preeminence and power. Hebrews 2:8 says this, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. God left nothing that's not put under his feet. Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing that hadn't been put under his feet. And then Christ has preeminence in worship. Hebrews 1:6 says this, when he brings the first begotten into the world, he said that all the angels of God worship him. Worship him. The angels of God. Revelation 5:13, listen to this. And every creature in heaven, every creature on earth, every creature under the earth and in the sea, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne, unto the Lamb. There's just one Lamb. John said, there he is, the Lamb of God, forever and forever. All preeminence in worship, both here and hereafter. And then he has preeminence in salvation. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Peter said, God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And then John wrote, this is the record. God hath given us eternal life, and this life's in his Son. That nothing could be plainer than that. Nothing could be more simple than that. This life's in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. If life's in the Son, he that hath the Son hath life. And if life's in the Son, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Yeah, he has all preeminence in this matter of salvation. It's come to Christ or perish. There's one God. Well, we won't argue with that. And there's one mediator between God and men. Better not argue with that either. And he identifies who that mediator is. It's not a saint. It's not St. Jude or St. Christopher or St. somebody else. Not St. Mary. It's Christ. There's one mediator between God and men. That's Christ Jesus. He's the only intercessor, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. And then fifthly, Christ has the preeminence in glory. In glory. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee will bow, every tongue will confess in heaven, earth, and under the earth that he is Lord. He is Lord. And that's just not something people say with their lips. That's something they know in their hearts. That's not just a bowing of the knee, my friend. That's a bowing and breaking of the heart. That's a genuine ownership of Christ over all that we are and have and ever hope to be. Christ is all. That's what Colossians 3:11 says. Christ is all. Paul just kind of sums it up there in Colossians 3:11. Says Christ is all. Now, there was a time when this world had no being. There was a time when this world wasn't here. And when the stars weren't there, and the sun and the moon weren't there, Now, if Christ is all, where was he then?
Well, he said this, Father, glorify me, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He was with the Father in glory before the world was. Christ Jesus. Well, it was a time when this world and heavens and all things were created. It was a time when the stars were made, the sun, the moon, the earth, and the waters were separated from the dry land, and the trees and mountains and valleys and fish and birds and animals and man. All these things were created. If Christ is all, where was he then? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Christ is all. Well, there was a time when man fell. This crowning creature, this one made in the image of God, obeyed the voice of Satan and willfully disobeyed God and took that fruit, whatever it was, and ate it. And he died. Spiritual death came upon him and all men. Darkness, death, disease, sorrow. If Christ is all, where was he then? I'll tell you where he was. When that man fell, the Father spoke and said to the serpent, I'm going to put you out of business. I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Her seed. And you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. You know who that he is? That's Christ. In that darkness, he was the light of life. In that death, he was the life of God. In that time of sorrow, God gave a happy announcement. In that time of disease, God said, I'm going to make my people well. I'm going to send Christ. The seed of woman. The seed of woman. That's the virgin-born Son of God, the only one that's ever been a seed of woman. Well, there was a time when all the prophecies and promises and patterns were fulfilled, when all the Old Testament promises concerning a Messiah, prophecies concerning a Messiah, patterns of the Messiah, the sacrifices, tabernacle, priesthood, prophets, kings, was all fulfilled in the coming of a Redeemer. If Christ is all, where was he then? He was the Redeemer. Simeon summed it up. He held Christ in his arms when he was just an infant. And he said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. I've seen your salvation. I've seen all that they've talked about, expected, announced, prophesied, promised, and looked for in this person, Jesus Christ. Well, there'll be a time when this world will end. There's going to be a time when the heavens are going to pass away with a fervent heat. Heaven and earth will be no more. And the dead are going to be raised. If Christ is all, where will he be then? He said, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. He that believeth on me shall never die. There's going to be a time of judgment. It's appointed unto me and once to die, and after that, the judgment. And all men are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. Well, there's going to be a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. It's a settled fact that in that new heaven, new earth, Jesus Christ has the preeminence. Oh, I tell you, to get a hold of that, to get a hold of that in your heart, to believe it, in your heart to believe him, to know him, is to have life everlasting. That's what this book's all about. It's about Jesus Christ. Well, why should he have the preeminence? Just tell me, why should he have the preeminence? I'll give you five reasons. The first of which is this. He has all preeminence because it's the will of the Father. It's the will of the Father. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father. Why is Joseph the head man in Egypt? Pharaoh said so. Why is Mordecai riding the king's horse and Haman leading him? The king said so. And I'm saying this, God hath highly exalted him, and God hath given him a name above every name. Christ has the preeminence because God says so. Secondly, he has the preeminence because he's the first begotten, and he is the heir of all things. Christ is the legitimate heir and the rightful heir. Listen to this. Hebrews 1:2, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. He's the heir. We're joint heirs with Christ. Thirdly, Christ has all preeminence because he bought it. When I buy something and pay for it, it's mine. And our Lord died that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. He bought this world. It belongs to him. He purchased the right. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to Jesus Christ. Everything belongs to Christ. And then he has all preeminence because he's the only one who's able to govern God's kingdom. The angels kept not their first estate. Adam couldn't remain dedicated. Samson, the strongest man, couldn't keep his hair. Solomon, the wise man, couldn't keep his word. Peter ran before a little maid, but he's able, and he's the only one who's able to manage the affairs of God. That's why he has the preeminence. And then in the fifth place, he has all preeminence because he deserves it. He deserves it. Jesus is the King of Kings, and in him are all things. Jesus lived and died for me, and from bondage sets me free. Jesus, our Lord and God, bore sin's tremendous load. Tell what his arm hath done. Tell what victories he hath won. Sing his worthy name alone. Worthy the Lamb. Worthy the Lamb. All right, here are two messages that I have on one tape. The first message is some dangers we face. The second message I just brought you, the preeminence of Christ. For $2, you can have the tape. We'll send it to you by return mail. Write to the address shown on the screen. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you, everyone.